And away we go. Thank you for joining us and welcome to Caching in the Northwest. This is the only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the great Pacific Northwest. We're going to talk about caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the continent. So while you're still logging travel bugs from the big event, we'll be caching in the Northwest.
That's right. And that means it's time to bring in our Tacoma bound Tamarin. Some say he has more tails than a petting zoo. And others say he didn't dial the wrong number. You answered the wrong phone. All we know is he's called Land Monkey.
Hey, good to be here. Good to be back with my good friends. I can't remember the last time the three of us have been together on the podcast. It's been a little while, so this is awesome.
What is this? Where am I?
The band is back together. This is fantastic.
Yes.
It's great to be here. Appreciate the introductions. Hearing it in your voice, Jim, it's just feels like being home.
Oh, good stuff. I'm homely, that's for sure.
that's what the girls say. All right. Well, you know, we want to thank our patrons who support us every week and just help keep this podcast coming. Patrons, you'll be glad to see all three hosts are here. Thanks to your patronage. I'm sure that had something to do with that. All right. You know, if you want to know more about supporting the show, click on the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. Folks, what else have we got going on here? We're going to talk about one of our favorite show types, our top cache tips shows. This week, we're going to be doing Tacoma, Washington. So, if you're interested in learning a little bit more about caching in the greater Tacoma area, this is definitely the show for you.
Definitely.
Sounds good.
Two out of the three hosts really like this town.
Good.
Or at least we just can't escape it.
Well, there's that. Maybe that's it.
Well, you know, as we have often said, before we get going, we have to start glowing, don't we? The geocaching log of the week, it's a highlight of the podcast. At least it is for me. And I hope it is for you. So this week's glow is from Tick Magnet. Faithful listener and friend of the show. Sends in a log. The log, though, is by Hurley Ann. I don't know Hurley Ann. Any of you guys know Hurley Ann?
Don't know Hurley Ann, actually.
Okay. No. Well, maybe Hurley Ann will start listening to the podcast. Maybe. The log is for GC7HV1F, the Jasmer Challenge, North Dakota edition. And the log reads, Hubby ordered some parts, and it was cheaper to drive to Montana than to have it shipped to Saskatchewan, so we made a weekend getaway of it. After driving through bad weather Friday, we decided to spend a couple nights in Williston and cache in the area. With the planetary pursuit going on, it was good to get away to rack up some points. I've seen the same thing back home with cachers from other cities and provinces finding our caches. Today, I was able to persuade him to go a few hours out of our way to chase an FTF and keep our monthly FTF streak going. On our drive down to this area, there were several patches of ice just outside of Williston, and on our way back again, they had melted for the most part. This cache was where we encountered the most adventurous part of our day. I am the keeper of our local Jasmer Challenge and like to find one whenever I can. The lure of the FTF on top of that was just too much. As we approached the area, there were a couple of pylons on the road, and we could see tire tracks indicating that someone else had passed them by. We proceeded cautiously and parked before the iced over water crossing. The tire tracks continued across the water and up the hill. There was a bumper on the road that must have gotten knocked off of a previous vehicle that had been through the area. We had a good look and decided it just wouldn't be smart to try to drive across at this time of year. However, the creek did narrow in a couple of spots, so we contemplated other ways of crossing. Unfortunately, as Hubby was checking the ice at one spot, he ended up falling through almost to his waist. We walked 100 feet back to the car and he got changed. The sun was shining brightly today and there was little wind, so he said he didn't feel too bad. However, he was no longer equipped for a prolonged walk in the chilly weather. Instead, we scouted out a couple of other spots and ended up picking a narrow spot with solid ground where I'd be able to jump across to the other side. I removed my jacket prior to jumping so that I would at least have a dry jacket if I slipped and fell in too. I had a good solid landing though, and I proceeded to walk up the road to the cache after my gear joined me on the same side of the creek. Hubby watched me walk away and could see me most of the way up the hill. Once I made it to the top, it was an easy hike through the field to Ground Zero. I spotted the likely spot for the cache after searching for a couple of minutes, and that's where I found it. I yelled out woohoo so Hubby would know that I'd made the find. Now to make my way back and try for another find. TFTC.
Wow, that is an epic caching adventure for sure.
You know, I have fallen through into icy water, and it's no fun. No fun whatsoever. Especially after taunting the person you're hiking with, that would have been wit's end because he nearly slipped. And while he was walking across and didn't slip, I slipped in because anyway.
That's justice.
That's justice. Exactly. That's not the way it's supposed to happen.
Sorry, my karma ran over your dogma.
Oh, so true. Hey guys, don't forget, we still have the DNF Avenger contest going. In fact, tonight we're doing a giveaway. I know, right? We have other geocaching trackable prizes for our winners, so make sure to enter. But how? How does one enter?
Well, let me tell you. I'll tell you exactly how you enter. You can enter to win, and tonight we're going to draw for
a fingernail.
No. Well, oh. Yeah.
Land monkey fingernail. You could win a piece of land monkey.
Fingernail clippings, not the entire fingernail. No, we have I'm covering the trackable number just out of courtesy. It's so shiny. All you can see is my camera.
Yeah, I'm trying to see the show notes and the reflection there.
That is a Team Squirrel Geo coin.
That's cool.
So there you go. They have these awesome Team Squirrel Geo coins. I had one in my possession quite some time ago and I asked Team Squirrel, can I give this away as a prize on the show? And they were delighted to have that happen. So here we go. We're going to do that. We're going to do the draw at the end of the show tonight. So
nice.
You'll find out who the wiener is. All right. But you know, if you want to enter and there's still lots of time to enter, we got more prizes coming all through the summer. All you have to do is post, on Twitter or on Facebook, or, you know, I've accepted an entry on Instagram, but you just have to use hashtag DNF Avengers, use @CachingNW and post a story as brief or long as you can fit into your tweet or your post about how you have avenged a DNF.
That's right. Now every entry is going to receive a special DNF Avengers badge for your geocaching profile. And some of you may even win some great prizes. So the rules are at landmonkey.blogspot.ca and cachingnw.com. Now, we've asked week after week, we've asked, please send feedback in your own voice because we get tired of talking all the time. And do you know what? Somebody did. This is Medicine Man of Seattle, and I want to play a little feedback that he's sent in. And here we go.
Hello, cachers of the Pacific Northwest, and of course, caching in the Northwest. Medicine Man of Seattle here on May 26, 2018. Just wanted to say happy Memorial Day weekend. This weekend started like any other. However, this Saturday, while the rest of the Pacific Northwest was enjoying the Geo Woodstock in lovely Cincinnati, Ohio, the Snag the Tag event was about to start early in the morning here in Seattle proper. I had the grand plan of awakening as early as 6 a.m. to start the search for these hidden trackables around our city. As it would be, the alarm was set for 6:50 p.m. However, with good luck, a pediatrician friend of mine who lives in Cincinnati remembered that I may be journeying out there this weekend. Sadly, I was not. However, that did prompt me to crawl out of bed, careful not to wake Emma Bear or Lucy Bear, who needed to be snuggling next to me this morning. I readied myself in the bathroom, and just as I was ready to leave, who should need help to sit on the potty? Emma Bear. No time for changing her. out with her PJ, she came. We slipped on her Nikes into the car, and we drove to the first stop, the Mount Lake Terrace. Only one wrong turn that I took on the way there, but parking was right next to Ground Zero. Ah, yes, we looked in that last planter box, and yes, the treasure was ours to be had. Jumping for joy, we raced back to the car, checked the map to see if there was any other travel bugs still out and about. We decided to venture to the Junkins Park location. Sadly, after looking beneath both wrenches, no trackable was to be found. One last stop on our trip, Car Key Park, which conveniently served twofold for us. Number one, to check to see if any of the picnic tables nearby would have any electrical plugs near the shelter, because hashtag Emma turns four at Car Key Park this Sunday. And number two, to see if the final trackable bug could be found for me, as Emma had clearly claimed the first one for herself. Yes, indeed, we parked the car close again, hopped out of the car, raced across, found the bench, found the sign, looked up, looked down, looked in underneath. Just as we were about ready to head out, I asked Emma to move that plant just a little bit more to the left, and sure enough, she reached under, made the grab, a small plastic baggie held together with a small rubber band popped free, and we were able to claim a trackable bug for each of us. We made our celebration stop, had a donut, ham and cheese croissant, and then everything bagel at Diva's just down the road. Thanks again for the fun hunt here in our great city of Seattle. Once again, Medicine Man of Seattle, and Emma Bear on this great day. Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Bye-bye.
Nice. Now, do you guys know what Snag the Tag is?
No, tell me.
I just found out about Snag the Tag from Avro Air, and you know what? He's going to come on the show and tell us about it himself. Awesome. But you've seen Spot the Ape. That was last year. They put out these, I think they're path tags for Spot the Ape, and you went to a specific website or Facebook page.
Yeah, I think they were the aluminum trackable, like, not coins, but you know what I mean? Like the...
Right, the, like the pressed aluminum trackables, yeah. So they're doing the same thing with Snag the Tag. That's the idea. They're putting these out. You come to Geo Coin Fest, you trade that in for a coin.
Nice.
One per person. So that's what they're starting. And it's just in the Seattle, I hope, South Sound. Well, I think it's in Washington State. Okay. It may be beyond that. I don't know. We'll have to wait until we talk to Avro Air. So also, they're also doing Spot the Ape again this year. So,
all right. So I'm going to have to talk to Avro Air and make sure that contest is going to happen in British Columbia there.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got this thing about contests in British Columbia.
Canada, really?
Yeah.
But anyway, more about that later. You know, we don't, so there's our news for tonight. Thanks to Medicine Man of Seattle. Snag the Tag has officially started, and it's a way to, get yourself, involved in the pre-show going ons for the, Geo Coin Fest in September, right? Geo Coin Fest in September.
Let's say yes.
I think it's like mid to late September, but anyways. We can check our
files. Cool.
You're correct.
And a little teaser for content yet to come.
Absolutely. So tonight, as I said off the top of the show, we're going to talk about top caching tips. One of my favorite types of shows that we do. I've really been enjoying this series. And this one's going to be on Tacoma, Washington. So
heard of Tacoma.
I've brought in a couple of Tacoma experts onto the podcast tonight.
And who's that?
That's really nice of you.
I thought so. Since I know pretty much jack squat about Tacoma, except that that's where my friends live. I'm going to ask questions and you guys are going to answer them, and we'll be able to give people a lot more information about the greater Tacoma area.
Is this how this thing's going to work?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, you could ask me questions and I could just make stuff up.
Or we could just make him do a podcast all by himself.
It doesn't work for me. I'm just letting you know. I need help on a podcast.
For some reason, whenever it's been like you guys are both not available and I have to do a podcast, I've managed to find somebody else to join me. I've never had to do it solo.
Don't. Just don't.
I don't know what that says.
It's not that hard, but okay. Well,
if you're gifted properly, it's not that hard. I don't have that gift. Those genes are not in my makeup.
All right. Let's just get back to Tacoma here.
All right. Okay. So let's start out. let's put a little definition around the area. So Jensen, when we say Tacoma, what other towns, cities, suburbs, etc. are included in that? And approximately where is Tacoma for anybody who may know?
Well, it's right here.
Okay.
I'm standing in it.
I'm sitting in it here. Yeah.
There you go. Actually, that's not completely true. It's not technically true for me because Tacoma is by itself an incorporated city. It's a very large city in the state of Washington. It's about, 30 miles south of Seattle-ish? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah. SeaTac Airport is between Seattle and Tacoma, hence the name. But when people refer to Tacoma, often, you know, I grew up in Southern California. And when people ask where I'm from, I grew up in L.A. But really, it was Los Angeles County. I was nowhere near Los Angeles city limits. And people refer to lots of regions. You know, I think of Land Monkey as living in Vancouver, even though he's not in Vancouver. He's out in Langley. So Tacoma, yes, is a official city and all, but there are lots of areas around Tacoma that some are incorporated cities, some are just unincorporated parts of Pierce County, which is one of which I live in, that we refer to as Tacoma or the greater Tacoma metro area. Cities like Fir Crest and University Place, areas of Lakewood, Ruston, Parkland, Spanaway, Steilacoom. Sometimes you can even refer to Gig Harbor if you're not actually talking to somebody from Gig Harbor because they might take that as an offense. But, you know, it's right across the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. It's kind of one part of the Tacoma area, right? So there you go. Pierce County, half hour or so south of Seattle and neighboring cities and regions there. Is that enough? Did I just confuse you?
That's a lot of places. Yeah.
Sometimes we even include the Joint Base Lewis-McChord in the Tacoma area.
We do, yeah. When I first moved here, that was Fort Lewis Army Base and McChord Air Force Base, but thanks to government restructuring, it's now Joint Base Lewis-McChord or just JBLM to the locals.
And the highway signs.
Yeah.
Right. I've seen those highway signs. I was always wondering what joint base meant. Now I know. Thank you.
Yeah, they joined an Army and an Air Force base.
Not like where you go for your weed when you're in Tacoma.
I got lots of weeds in my yard. You want to come pick some dandelions?
Free. I'll give it to you free. Free weed right here in Tacoma.
Be careful about that, but okay.
Our yard. Yeah.
Also careful about that. Okay.
A yard of weed.
All right. So let's say I'm trying to get to the Tacoma area. What is the best way? So either, you know, if you're coming there, maybe you're coming from British Columbia, maybe you're coming from somewhere else in the U.S. Is it best to just drive in there? And if so, what route do you take? Or is it better just fly in and, you know, what? How do you get to Tacoma?
Well, I-5. That's the best way to get to Tacoma. If you're driving, I-5 runs right through the middle of Tacoma. You can come from the north, from the south. If you're flying, guess what? You're also going to take I-5. You're going to land at SeaTac Airport, the Seattle-Tacoma Airport. As Witzend so eloquently said, it's halfway between Seattle and Tacoma. And it's about a 45-minute drive in normal traffic, if you can ever hit normal traffic. And then you're in Tacoma. So I-5 is the route in Western Washington. It doesn't matter if you're in Bellingham, Bellevue, Seattle, Tacoma, or Olympia, you're going to be on I-5.
Red arm. Okay, so I've made my way into the SeaTac, or I've driven down the I-5, or driven
welcome
the I-5. So once I'm in Tacoma, is the transit good enough that I can just use that to cash from, or do I need a car? How do you get around to do caching in the Tacoma area?
Well, we have transit. There are Metro buses, Pierce Transit buses. We even have the Link. It's a nice little rail system. It runs a total from the theater district all the way down to the Tacoma Dome, all of about 1.6 miles or so.
Woohoo!
Only about 2.5 clicks for metric folk.
I got to ask why, but okay.
Subway Mark loves it.
We have decided not to ask why anymore. However, I was recently talking to somebody is part of the Sound Transit train going north into Seattle. And he said that there are plans to someday include the link in a larger regional rail system. So being a fan of rail systems, as Subway Mark is, even more than I am, I like it, but let's be serious. If you're going to do a lot of caching in the area, the link's not going to cover the entire Tacoma metro area. You might be able to get by on the bus, but you're probably going to need a car.
There you go. All right. So let's talk about geocaches. Now, when I think of the general greater Tacoma area, the different towns you talked about, I think of cachers who place caches, cachers like Team Noltex, Bounce Bounce. Who else should I be seeking out for caches of a quality caching experience?
You know, you name some great hiders. Mm-hmm. Bounce Bounce has done some great quality travel bug hotels, some gadget caches. Team Noltex seems to be lately into gaming caches, caches based on board games that you played as a kid, or electronic games like Assignment. We just did an Operation cache that they did.
That's cool.
So the old, well, it's not old, the game Operation, where you have to take the tweezers and pull the bits out of a person.
Yeah.
But you know, in the area, you're going to need to look for Goblin Dust caches. He does great gadget caches.
He's got some of his caches in the Tacoma area.
Well, a little outside.
Okay.
Up in Seattle, you have Day Springs Totally Tubular series, and that's really worth the drive if you want to do those. And if you're going to head out a little outside of Tacoma to any of the national parks, you're going to want to look for Ojoy's Earth Caches.
Yeah.
Because she knows how to do Earth Caches.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always enjoyed her Earth Caches. All right. So another thing that a lot of cachers like to do is look for an opportunity to do a power trail. So, pick up a metric buttload of caches in a day. Are there any good options in the Tacoma area for power trails?
Well, first of all, I have to start out. We in the States use an imperial buttload, but okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, that is a destination. And I was actually going to pack up one more step. Excuse me. You mentioned I-5 runs through Tacoma, and it does. But right in the heart of Tacoma is the end of Highway 16 that runs out to the peninsula. And as Lori Cassidy in the chat mentioned, if you're coming in from the peninsula, well, it's Highway 16 that you're going to use until you get to I-5.
There you go.
Now back to power trails. There aren't really any serious power trails in Tacoma, at least not that I'm aware of. There are some cache series and things like that that have a theme. There are some great ones, like Team Noltex has done a couple like that. If you go outside the greater Tacoma area to Ording, Yelm, Tenino, which they're only 20 minutes, 30 minutes outside of Tacoma, there are some large parks out there with some lots of caches. We have, speaking of parks, some great parks here in the Tacoma area. Fort Silicon is a great park with, they do Civil War reenactments. It's a large park out there. There's some great caches out there. And Point Defiance. Now, Point Defiance is one of the great parks, well, I think, of the nation. In fact, I just recently saw an article on somewhere online that's listed one great park in each of the 50 states, and Point Defiance made their list for their choice for Washington State.
Wow.
It's a great park. The northern part of Tacoma ends in a point, really. And it was called Point Defiance because a great military general person whose name escapes me said that with a cannon on each shore, he could defy the world there on each side of the point. Point Defiance is loaded with caches. I don't know that you would consider it a power trail, but you could spend all day pretty much caching just in Point Defiance Park.
And IHAM in the chat completely agrees with you that Point Defiance has a ton of caches.
Yeah.
You know, I had Point Defiance cleaned out at one point, and within a couple of years, they've all turned over and, it's no longer full of smileys for me. So it's one of those places that you want to just keep going back to.
I was going to say, that's not a bad thing when the caches get turned over like that and you get the opportunity to go back and redo the area. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Also in the chat, Team Finn mentions Minstrel is one of our local hiders.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if it's a he or a she.
Hmm.
I don't know if I've ever met the hider. But it is that they do some great hides, some great puzzles, some things that, you know, are right out in the open, but you can't see it, that type of thing. So, and it's also mentioned in the chat by a couple of people. Oh, Bounce Bounce and IHAM both say that there's a webcam here in Tacoma. So
there is indeed.
Yeah, that's right off the University of Washington Tacoma campus.
Very cool. Yeah, I've done that.
Minstrel is a guy.
Oh, there you go.
Or Lori Cassidy is a guy. I can't figure out what she's saying. No. No, I understand. I'm just joking.
Awesome. Yeah, I've done that webcam on a previous visit. That's the Go Dogs webcam, or Big Dogs or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. There's dogs in it.
Yeah, because University of Washington Huskies are dogs.
There you go.
That's the reference there.
Awesome. Yeah, that was a fun webcam. I remember doing that one. Now, let's put on our our imagination caps on and close our eyes and imagine ourselves in some evil parallel universe where I have a spouse who doesn't like to cash.
And none of us have facial hair?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. But if I had a partner who doesn't like to cash, but I want to come to Tacoma and do some geocaching, what other things are there to do in the Tacoma area besides geocaching?
Maybe go to the mall. That's going to be about it.
Let's go to the mall.
Thanks, Robin Sparkles. You know, Tacoma has really developed in the last few years. We'll start with the Tacoma Dome, which is the largest arena with a wooden dome in the world when measured by volume, because somebody in Michigan went and built a bigger one. It was built from the fallen timber of the Mount St. Helens eruption. So that's cool. Really cool.
And it's getting a multi-million dollar overhaul later this year.
Oh, is it? I hadn't heard. There's a lot of concerts at the Tacoma Dome. I mean, we get the big names. We also have the Emerald Queen Casino, and they get a lot of concerts as well. So if you're looking for that kind of entertainment, Tacoma is the place to go, really, over Seattle.
Or if you're looking for gambling.
Or gambling, yeah. We have the Museum of Glass. It's a great Chihuly glass exhibit with working artists. You can watch them work right there. And in fact, you can even get some of your, you can have the opportunity to blow glass yourself. Now, Wits End, you've done that, haven't you?
We didn't blow glass there. We went down Central East Chehalis area. There was glass blowing studio that I think it was a Groupon deal. But yeah, my family and I went down and made some glass sculptures. It was a lot of fun.
Okay, I got to stop you there for a moment because you've explained this to me in the past, so I know what this is, but you said the Museum of Glass is a Chihuly glass exhibit. Like, what does the word Chihuly mean?
That's the name. Dale Chihuly is a famous glass artist.
World famous glass artist. In fact, that's the reason we have, he's from Tacoma.
Yeah.
That's the reason we have the Museum of Glass here.
Yes. And I know it's art because I neither understand it nor appreciate it.
Well, on that note, I have to say that on a previous visit to Tacoma, when Chris, you guys put us up, and then in the morning you took us down and we checked out the glass museum and the bridge, the walkway, mm-hmm. with windows over top and the glass pieces sitting in the window so that they catch the sunlight as it comes through. It was breathtaking. I mean, I don't, like Jim, I kind of don't understand some of the art sometimes, but you can see the craftsmanship that went into it, and it's just really impressive. And the colors on a sunny day, it's just an amazing place to be. So I definitely would give two thumbs up to the Chihuly glass exhibit at the Museum of Glass there for sure.
Yeah, that's totally worth taking the time. You know, the Bridge of Glass in and of itself is worth walking over, and you know what? There's a geocache on it, so you can't lose. As you're driving 705, which is an offshoot of I-5 through Tacoma, you see the Chihuly large pieces of glass on on the bridge there. I refer to them as the Walmart bags because they're the color of the old Walmart plastic bags, that blue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people refer to them as ice cubes or other things, but I call them Walmart bags. So, yes.
Oh, your audio all of a sudden super hot, but I think it's good now.
Yeah.
You know, the Googles, I think, don't like us this evening.
Do the Googles ever like us?
No. Not me.
So you have the Museum of Glass. We also have the LeMay Car Museum. There's classic autos from all eras. It's a four-story museum on an eight-acre campus that displays cars, trucks, motorcycles, in historic and tech exhibits. It's really quite cool. I've walked through it a couple of times. They rotate the displays often enough that you could walk through it every couple of months and see new things.
Wow. Impressive.
Yeah.
So, anything else for muggles to do? No, that's it.
No, that's it.
Glass and cars. You don't like glass, you don't like cars, go somewhere else.
Nah.
What about history? We have the Washington State History Museum here as well.
Cool.
We've already mentioned Point Defiance, but you know, there are flower and award-winning rose gardens there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this time of year, my wife really enjoys a nice walk at Point Defiance just to look at the blooming flowers and everything. It's just absolutely beautiful. If that's not enough, also at Point Defiance, there's an award-winning zoo and aquarium.
Nice.
Yeah. Bounce mentions that the WSGA, the Washington State Geocaching Association, is having their event, their summer picnic at Point Defiance on Saturday.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. IHAM says Point Defiance Zoo just got two new penguin chicks.
Hmm.
Nice.
Go to the zoo and check out some chicks.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, are those women wearing tuxedos?
No.
Not going there. if water is your thing, maybe the aquarium, you know, thinks, watching the aquarium, I want to get in some of this water. We have the Puget Sound. The whole thing. It's great for sailing and kayaking. It's a little cold for swimming year round. We also have, which just opened this weekend, Wild Waves, the theme park, with roller coasters, kid-friendly rides, plus a water area with pools and slides. It's fantastic. My kids have always loved going there.
Very cool.
And then after playing in the water all day, what's better than to go get some great seafood for dinner? Or maybe you are the seafood for dinner.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works.
Kayaking with the orcas. Yeah, maybe. or swimming. yeah, I definitely would agree with that. I mean, that's one of the great things about living on the West Coast is the seafood. I mean, it's one thing to, you know, go to a restaurant somewhere else in the U.S. and get seafood. But, you know, like last weekend when we were all in Ohio, well, almost all of us, sorry, Jim. When we were in Ohio, and at one point, Laura and I were looking, what do we want to do for dinner tonight? And like, well, I'm telling you one thing, I'm not having any seafood.
Yeah.
Because, well, there's seafood restaurants? I don't know. I'm in the Midwest. I think I'm going to wait till I go home and have seafood.
Yeah, skip the sushi.
Yeah.
I mean, we can actually get pretty good gas station sushi here, but I wouldn't try it in the Midwest. In the chat, I hear people asking about the Museum of Flight, which is at the Boeing facility. That is about halfway between the airport and Tacoma. You know, so about 20, 30 minutes away. It's a fabulous museum. I like to go there once a year
It's north of the airport, actually.
Is it north of the airport?
Yeah.
Oh, you are so right.
But, you know, just so saying.
That's at Boeing Field, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So then, yeah, he's right. It's north.
I have no idea where it is. I like to go there. I don't drive, apparently. Thank you for correcting me. I feel so much better.
But speaking of traveling places, any other major...
Well, you know, when you're in Tacoma, you're really in the heart of it all. You're about an hour and a half from Mount Rainier National Park. You know, you drive up to Paradise. It's
literally,
literally mm-hmm. Paradise. You're about 2.5 hours from Mount St. Helens. Again, another great spot. Wonderful earth caches there. And the ape caves with no ape caches. But it's different. So, you know, we like to say in Western Washington, you can drive to the snow, you can drive to the ocean. Whatever you're looking for, you can find it here.
Yeah, much like Vancouver in that way, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's say I'm headed to Tacoma and talking about, you know, some of these drives to some of these other spots. Would I be able to try and make a run to, let's say, Geocaching HQ or any other interesting caching related significant areas?
Well, you know, I kind of consider the Tacoma the heart of the triad.
Okay. Right? Why is
that? You're about an hour from HQ, about an hour and a half from the Ape Cache, and about 2 hours from the original stash.
That kind of is the heart.
You're not going to get a better location to get all three of those.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I was going to say, folks are chiming in the chat. The chat is incredibly busy, but let us know your thoughts of caching in Tacoma. People say Subway Mark is saying the State Fair is nearby in Puyallup.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Seebeck Tribe says the ape caves are awesome to do. They really are.
They are.
Point.
The ape caves, do not confuse the ape caves, which is at Mount Washington, or not Mount Washington.
Near Mount St. Helens.
Mount St. Helens, thank you. Do not confuse those with the Tunnel of Light and the Ape Cache.
Right.
Two very different areas.
Very much.
But they're easily confused.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. I was just saying they're easily confused, but the Ape Caves, I believe, are lava tubes near Mount St. Helens. Is that correct?
Yes, they are. There's two paths to go. There's one path that's very easy to walk and one that's much more technical and takes a lot of scrambling and crawling. So I'm hearing that the Museum of Flight is free the first Thursday of the month. Now, I didn't know that. I thought that was the Tacoma Art Museum that was free the first Thursday.
You know, lots of museums have a day of the month that's free. It's great to just do a little research and check it out.
That's cool. Yeah. All right. So you guys keep keep sending us any tips you have about the Tacoma area or questions you have about the Tacoma area, and we'd love to have our experts here on the podcast answer them as best they can.
We're not acknowledging Team Finn, though.
Okay. And, of course, we're interested in hearing anything else you guys have to say.
Okay, so Iham, who's in the know, right? He doesn't even live in Tacoma, and he knows more than I do.
But he works in downtown Tacoma.
Oh, there you go. He says, Tacoma museums are free on the third Thursday.
The third Thursday. There you go.
Seattle museums on the first Thursday. Tacoma museums on the third Thursday.
So you just got to figure out where the second Thursday is. You can kind of make a little route.
Thursday. The third Thursday.
Third Thursday. A tree tardy. And Subway Mark's just itching to win a prize, I think. He says, the best part of Tacoma is Chris and Jim. Oh, aren't you sweet?
Buttering up the hosts. Hey, you're buttering up the wrong host, Subway Mark. All right. So, Witsan, did you have anything else we want to tell folks before we wrap up this part of the show?
I think we've covered Tacoma pretty well. You know, Tacoma can get kind of a bad rap at times, but there's some great stuff to do here. And some halfway decent people.
Yeah.
And by all means, in all seriousness, if you are coming to Cache to Tacoma, let us know.
Yeah.
You never know what our schedules are, but hey, if we could work it out, I'd love to come out and grab a piece of pie with you at a coffee shop or go caching with you or, you know, whatever.
Very cool. All right. Well, folks, we are looking for guests to speak about their local areas for future Top Cache Tips episodes. So if you're interested in joining us here live on the show or contributing your feedback for us to read, please contact us at feedback@cachingw.com with the subject line, Top Cache Tips. Tell us about what area you'd like to share about and whether you'd be able to join the show live. We love to keep this series going, and we're really interested in learning more about different areas, not just specific to the Northwest. If you listen to this podcast and you live somewhere outside of what we call the Northwest, and you'd love to tell us more about where you live and some Top Cache Tips there, get in touch with us. We'd love to be able to share about your place too.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, folks, we want to thank you for tuning in. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of Cache in the Northwest. We'll let you know there's more great topics coming up. Next episode, 254, that is on June 7th. We're going to have an exclusive interview with Audrey from Geocaching HQ all about the Hidden Creatures promotion. So I'm very excited about talking to Audrey and getting that information. June 14th, look out, Lisa and Kid Vegas are back on the podcast to talk about the Spokane Geocoin Challenge. That's exciting.
That is good. I mean, they do a Geocoin Challenge every year in Spokane, and it just keeps going. And I think it's getting better and better. June 21st, episode 256. That's, you know, a factor of two if you're interested.
Yes, it is.
The Sidetrack Cache Series with Subway Mark. And, you know, he's the best part of railroading that we know of.
Best part of going to Salem?
The best part of going to Salem is Subway Mark.
There you go. All right. Well, besides Subway Mark, we want to thank all of our faithful supporters, and especially our Denali level supporters. That's Bounce Bounce, Team Squirrel, and WorldCaching.com. And folks, if you want to know more about supporting this show, click that Patreon link on the CachingNW.com website. And thank you to every single one of our supporters. That is the Pendragon Broncos Fan for Life, Sprouter Camp Clan, Tick Magnet, Kev MacD, Subway Mark, Doramore, Dune Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, Geo Nav Pros, Wino Seattle, Akerdoc, OBX Geek, Billy Robson, Nice, Anteus, Keats 94, and Curiosity Girl. And yes, I snuck a little breath in there.
Heavens, the Murgatroyd.
And I have to say, I have, I met a few of our supporters, our podcast supporters at the Giga Stock event there. So that was kind of cool, including
awesome.
Jerry Nice.
Yes, I did. I met him as well. In fact, he's coming out this way.
Very cool.
I told him, you know, send me the dates and we'll figure something out because, you know, how often? And so we actually may hit GC 12 and 17 together.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
If it works out right.
Those are important caches to go get.
Mm-hmm. You could introduce him to the Link.
Oh, yes. That's Mr. Link.
That's right. Well, hey, it's been fun hanging out on Thursday with you guys again. Until next Thursday, maybe somebody might want to get in touch with somebody. Land Monkey, how would they reach out and touch a Land Monkey?
Well, the easiest way to reach out and touch a Land Monkey and not get in any trouble is to use Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. We're at LandMonkeyGC. On Facebook, we're Team LandMonkey. And on YouTube, we're posting videos every once in a while. I've got a couple in the works, especially a lot of footage I took on my hashtag geocache road trip down to GigaStock. And just search YouTube for LandMonkey. And of course, our blog, landmonkey.blogspot.ca. But then, my friend, where do people find you?
Here I am. Well, I'm here in Tacoma that we just talked about. So when in Tacoma, come visit with
just him. Stop anywhere and ask for that great cacher with that fabulous mustache.
Well, I don't know about that, but let me know if you're coming by. But if you're not coming by, you could find me on the interwebs, most often on social media, just Wits End. Try Twitter. It's a pretty good one. But they don't want to check.
You post some good stuff on Twitter.
Sometimes. I post some mediocre stuff too. It's up to you to sort it out.
Full-time job.
Chris of the Northwest, and you?
You know, I tend to be on Twitter as well. CashingNW. You can find me on Facebook. Or better yet, head on over to CashingNW.com/hosts and read our bios and find all those links.
That's right. And until next Thursday, or until whatever time you happen to fire us up in your favorite podcast player, we want to thank you. Yes, you, you, and even you for taking the time to listen to this very episode of Cashing in the Northwest. You know, you can be part of the show. You could come on and tell us about the top cash tips in your area, or just give us a call at 253-693-TFTC. Leave us a comment, ask us a question, put us in elf storage any time of the day or night. Of course, you can email us at feedback@cashingnw.com. And, you know, your support really does help to keep quality shows coming. If you like this show, would you please go click that Patreon link on the cashingnw.com website and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere you like to listen to your podcasts. This show is produced by Chris Dunfernauer, Jay Kennedy, hosted by Chris J and some other guy. It's licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license, copyright 2018 by Chris Dunfernauer. Now, would you like to maybe hang out a little bit and stay tuned for this thing we call
show?
Yeah, we don't usually call it that loudly, but that is what it's called.
I don't know why the music's so stinking loud. I don't even hear it on my end here. So,
I do.
Oh, sorry.
We can all hear it. It's all good.
I couldn't hear myself read the closing comments.
I kind of figured that out, and I turned it all the way down. So
Jim, I could see your headphones doing this.
Pretty much, yeah.
Sorry, guys. It's really not
blood,
what I want.
Blood running down out of my ear right there, yeah.
It's a rough. But we're all here together.
How does it do that?
What, one of your hosts is deaf now, but we're all here together.
What?
Nothing. I didn't say anything.
Okay. We get Jim so rarely on the show anymore. I don't want to abuse him.
Oh, he's trying to make up for lost audio. See, yeah. He's
playing the audio at 3 times the volume.
That's it.
I don't think that's how that works.
Oh. No.
Oh my goodness, that's hilarious. All right, so what do we got going on here?
Well, Land Monkey, first of all, we have to give away a prize.
Ooh.
For a DNF Avengers.
DNF Avengers prize.
Prize, so.
Coin. All right.
Ooh, wow, that's like 3D. Now, we have all your names put into a list and randomly pulled out. Are you ready?
What did we randomly pull out?
A name.
Okay.
You're a monkey. You randomly pull things out.
I do.
Yeah. Anyway, let's not make this any harder than it needs to be.
Please don't.
Keepers of the cash flow.
Yay!
You are going to get the Team Squirrel Geocoin.
Awesome. Congrats, Keepers of the Cash Flow. But hey, if you didn't win tonight, we're not done.
We're not done.
Keep going. There's more trackables and such to win.
That's right. And Seabeck Tribe, you're right. I need a drum roll audio effect, but I'm afraid I might just blast out my co-host's ears. So I'll work on that when I can somehow control the volume.
All right. What else you got? Keats.
Keats. Yes. Keats has a 3-part fatas here.
All right.
And that's for the after show. If you want us to talk about something, use the hashtag fatas during the normal part of the show. And we'll toss that into the after show, which we're in right now. So Keats says, speaking of weed, and I don't think he's referring to the dandelions in our yard. I had a deep conversation about life with a muggle on a bench in Kamloops. The cash was under the bench. I was like, quick question. Have you heard of geocaching? He knew what it was, and I showed him the cache under the bench. He promptly gave me an amethyst marble and continued with the deep conversation. Probably the most memorable find in several years.
Nice. That's awesome, Keith.
We blew out wit's end ears, and he's just fallen off his bench.
Maybe he lost his marble.
Oh, there he is.
stepped out. I'm all right.
Oh, let's see. You know, one of the things we keep track of in the after show is the young member of Team Finn, Cameron. He keeps us posted on his grades. Now, I know school is just within a couple of weeks of ending, but he got 100% on his geometry test today. So, nice. Congratulations.
He proved the geocaching theorem.
Which is?
I don't know.
Stay.
You have to ask him.
He's the geocaching theorem. Gotcha. So, nice. Kids, geocache and stay in school. You'll get 100% on your geometry test.
It's that easy.
Because looking at all the data we have before us, this is what we can surmise.
That's the geocaching theorem.
Yeah, that is a twisted view of our data, but you know, I'm going with it.
No, it's I think it's 100% right view of our of the data we have presented before us.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay.
So I am posted at the TAS Is that all there is to it? It says hashtag Patas, best food during hashtag geocache road trip to.
I think it's a kind of a question.
It's a question.
About, okay.
What was the best food, I think?
Huh. I'm going to say when we went out for dinner to the pizza place, I had a calzone. You had the pizza, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the best food I had there. It was like a boutique pizza place. The beer was good.
Neapolitan? No, that's not. It's
no. It was. Shoot, it was like a three-syllable name.
Well,
we'll think of it later.
Midici.
Oh, Medici.
Medici was the name of the place, but it was a style of pizza. You know, it's not that different from Mod Pizza, MOD. If you know what that is, that's
make on demand.
Make on demand. Yeah, that's. But they had some really good flavors. We actually shared, Gary Slinkard and Daryl Wattenberg and I each ordered three different pizzas and gave each other slices of it. So we were able to try the, try the different ones. I'm sorry. I was reading, Seebeck Tribe.
Yeah. I saw that too. Yeah.
Go ahead and read it.
Daughter walks into the room just as you said, Seebeck Tribe. Her response is, what the hell? Is that live?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yes.
There you go.
Hello, Seebeck Tribe. Hello.
That's awesome.
That's really what we're looking for is that shock factor.
Exactly. So I would say for us, that was probably the best food we had. We didn't get out to try any of the barbecue places, although I've heard good things about the barbecue places in that part of the world. Just didn't work out for us on that particular trip. Although next year we're in Texas.
Now there's real barbecue.
Yeah.
And real chili. Did you try any of the, I'm using air quotes, chili places?
So we saw some chain restaurants for chili.
Yes. Skyline and Gold Star.
Yeah, and it just did not appeal to me.
I had to try it.
Okay.
So I actually tried both of them. I went out once on my own and did Skyline. Now, Cincinnati-style chili is spaghetti noodles with the chili. We would call it a meat sauce or almost like a thick spaghetti sauce, that style, and then cheese on top. And that's considered a three-way with the spaghetti, the chili, and the cheese. You can get a four-way with onions and a five-way with beans.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay. You know, I'm glad I tried it. It's not a super spicy chili, but it is spiced with cinnamon. So, you know, after a bit of time, you do have that a burn in your mouth, but it tends to be a sweet burn and not a hot burn.
Sweet.
If you know what I'm saying.
I'm going to be burned. I want the sweet burn.
Yeah. Sweet burn. So it was okay, but I tried it. That pizza we had was very good.
Okay.
We went to Jungle Jim's, I guess you call it a grocery store. Jungle Jim's is a very unique experience. It is like a Trader Joe's on steroids.
Okay. Yeah, I saw the signs for that place.
The one in Fairfield has a working monorail on the outside.
Yes, that I saw that.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So that actually works.
Yes. And the one on Eastgate doesn't have a working monorail, but it does have a train sticking out of the front of the store.
That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, things like their hot sauce section is on a fire truck. Their seafood section has a large boat they've called the SS Minnow.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome.
You know, you've got a singing soup can swinging from the rafters up there. You just no other way to explain it. It's wacko. You've got to go in. It's quite the experience.
Fair enough. Now, one of the things we saw as we were driving around, and it kind of made me laugh because Mrs. Land Monkey came up with sort of a running gag. There's a chain of different pizza restaurants, and they have a picture of a very Italian looking chef doing this with his hands. And I assume that he's supposed to be tossing the pizza, but every time, so the first time Mrs. Land Monkey saw that, she said, "Where'd my pizza go?" And so then that became our running joke. Every time we saw one of those restaurants with the sign with the guy doing this, "Where'd my pizza go?" So if you see Mrs. Land Monkey at an event, guys, you got to walk up to her, do this and go, "Hey, where'd my pizza go?" She'll laugh very hard.
Very good.
There you go.
The other place we were told to try was Grater's Ice Cream. Graeters. And I got to try it the last day. And it was okay. You know. It's fine. Right. Ice cream.
I guess one of the other things for food, can't forget about the Butler County Donut Geo Tour.
Oh, boy.
So here's, okay, Butler County Donut Geo Tour. And we're gonna do another episode. We're going to break down a lot of our Geo Woodstock experiences. But I got to say, I heard from Chris of the Northwest and from Chris Ronan both, hey, if you're going to do the Butler County Geo Tour, the Donut Geo Tour, you should probably do it in the morning because, you know, some of the shops close early. That might not have been what was said, but that's what I heard. So I heard there's an option that you might want to do it in the morning. So what I learned is no, there's no option. If you're going to do that Geo Tour, you have to do it in the morning because by noon, all the donut shops are closed. And I don't know if this is some sort of Ohio State dietary control thing that you can't get donuts after 12. But I was pretty disappointed when I did the donut tour and I got no donuts. Every shop was closed. So
it's no Tim Hortons, buddy.
Well, there were Tim Hortons in Ohio.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the only place in the U.S. I've ever seen a Tim Hortons was in Columbus, Ohio.
Actually, we saw them in New York and we saw them in Philly.
Oh, I'm sure they're there. I haven't been there.
That was kind of crazy. Yeah, I was just a little disappointed about that, but you know, life goes on somehow I recovered from my disappointment. But, on our way out of town, on our road trip back up through, Detroit and to Ontario back, to fly home, we did make sure we left early enough from the hotel and stopped by one of the places that was on route and, did get some incredibly decadent donuts to enjoy.
I'll say that Daryl W. Four planned the donut trail for us. And it started at 5 in the morning. So I had to be out of the hotel by 4 to get there by 5. And that donut shop had actually opened at 3 and expected to close by 9.
Well, remember, you were tweeting about getting up early and I hadn't gotten off work yet.
Oh, oops. Yeah. I did tweet that this is the second morning in a row I'm out of the house by 4. When is this supposed to be fun?
And that's 4 a.m.
4 a.m. Yeah. Well, one was Pacific time, one was Eastern time, but it was, you know, two mornings in a row. I have to include this. Hold on. We have to stop for just a moment because Seebeck Tribe, sorry if somebody just walked in on you, Seebeck Tribe said, I just learned from my students that some people have chili and cinnamon roll together. In Morton, it's called a lager's breakfast.
And she corrects, not Morton, but Hoquiam.
Oh. Nah. And I don't care where it is. That's not right. You know, I haven't tried it.
Morning there.
You know, is it like chicken and waffles? I don't know.
That's something that you see a lot of in Ohio is Waffle House restaurants. Never been to one.
Oh, the Waffle House.
It does not appeal to me when I see the exterior of that restaurant. But boy, it's unmistakable.
You got to have their pecan waffle.
Really? Yeah. It is actually worth going
in? Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It didn't look like it to me.
No, it's a trucker's joint. But I've been very happy with the Waffle House. Their grits are also quite good.
Nice. There seems to be some serious donut cravings going on in the chat right now.
Okay, so we started off at 5 o'clock and we were done by 11:30. And we hit one donut shop. I want to say it was around 8 o'clock. And they were seriously picked over. And I thought, boy, they're not going to be open much longer. So, but almost all the donut places said, wow, we can't believe the amount of people that are coming in here.
Well, and so of course there was during that week, there's an exceptionally large number of people specifically going to the donut shops, doing the donut shop geo tour, of course, because there was up to 7,000 geocachers in the area for the weekend. So an anomaly, but I would suggest if you're thinking of going to Butler County and doing the geo tour, even at a normal time, you got to hit them in the morning because they are actually closed by noon. So that's sad.
Yeah. The donut trail really is meant to be done early. Tomorrow is National Donut Day, says Bounce Bounce. You know, I'm kind of donuted out.
Yeah. But you see, you guys overdid it. That's the beauty of my diet version of the donut geo tour, is that, you know, while I was sad that day because I didn't get any donuts, the next morning I got one for my road trip back up to Canada, and it was a very decadent one. It was the what did they call that? The German cake donut or something.
German like chocolate cake or something.
Yeah. Yes, the German chocolate cake donut. It was loaded with chocolate and coconut and
You're speaking my language. I love German chocolate cake.
It was super decadent.
Now, here in Tacoma, we have some pretty decadent donut places. And, you know, you can get a specialty, you know, donut for...
But are they open after 12?
Yeah, they're open after 12. But these donuts could be $3 or more.
Ooh. Yeah, they weren't that expensive at the donut shops in Ohio.
They're $1. You know, for their decadent donuts, it may be $1.50. Like, this is stinking cheap.
Yeah, that was good.
So
good stuff. All right. Well, that was a long talk about food.
Star Casher.
Yeah.
Said, I picked up a TB that Land Monkey dropped in my I-75 rest stop cache south of Toledo and replaced it as I replaced the log on my way back from Cincinnati.
Sorry about the copy and paste log.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Robert. Legendary Donuts. Yeah, they're good donuts, but they're stinking expensive.
Yeah.
Just have to say that. I think even Safeway donuts are like $1.25 now.
And that's a Safeway donut.
Yeah. Subway Mark says the Spokane Geo Tour theme this year is trains, as well as Cash Dash Splash on the Washington coast this year.
Ah, Subway Mark is in his element.
Yeah.
Nice.
Totally trained out. He's totally training for these.
Oh, yes. That's probably about time to stop the podcast with that joke.
Oh, man. Okay. I will.
You did. But yeah, you guys, again, in the chat, you guys have been amazing. One last thing I want to throw out. Hashtag Patas from Brian Lang. The BCGA campout is June 8th through 10th in Fruitvale, British Columbia. GC7MYM8. So you can check out.
Nice. Folks, we appreciate you each and every week. I mean, I love the chat going on tonight. I almost hate to end it, but it's after 10 o'clock here. And this podcast is long enough. So let's carry this into next week. And until next week, get out and get caching in the Northwest.